begin our service in the name of God transcendent, God immanent, and God omnipresent, the holy living Trinity of love. Amen. Very good to see each of you here today. I thank you for your presence, and it's a blessing to be in person. So many good friends here, so it's such a blessing to be together. And I thank you for the choice of making the effort to be here in person. There's a lot of things you could be doing in Austin on this morning, so thank you. And we welcome everyone online, wherever you might be, and whenever you might watch this service, we send the love of God to you, and know you, we can feel your presence in this room and in our community. Just a couple of announcements. These are all on your bulletin and also online, so you can follow up if you if I move too quickly. All these will be on the screen, and I'm just going to speak them faster than probably they'll come up on the screen, so please bear with me. And we have a wonderful, unique offering coming up next Saturday, the 21st, from 9 to 3. It's online only, but it's with Jim Rielli. He's going to be teaching us a multi-dimensional approach to centering prayer. A lot of this stuff involves the body and kind of accessing the silence through the body. You can register for that online. Also, we have a half-day in-person centering prayer retreat, half-day on Wednesday, May 25th, from 1 to 5 in the evening. And then you can stick around for the worship service on Wednesday evening if you'd like. And that will be led by Sherry Bannock, and that will be in person. We have an introduction to centering prayer. We do this once or twice a year. It's an opportunity to do it online. And so if you're wondering what the method of centering prayer is or would just like a refresher, it's always good to go back and hear Thomas Keating's teaching on centering prayer. We offer that beginning on Saturday, June 4th. And you'd need to register for that online as well, or by calling the church office. We've got a wonderful five-day retreat up at Cedar Break scheduled, led by Jill Frank and Pamela Begman, on the welcoming prayer. So it's a welcoming prayer is just a silence on the go throughout the day, throughout the week, consenting. A beautiful way of accessing the silence throughout the day. And anyway, it's a great way to get away and with others and to pray in the silence in community. So all these are available to register online. I wanted to mention a very special offering that has come around to us. Tim and Barbara Cook, the co-founders of this church, with Jill Frank, will be leading a discussion, a conversation, Wednesday nights here in the sanctuary, in person only, but it will be broadcast. But those of you who want to watch it, you won't be able to speak. It's not going to be two-way. It's just one-way. So if you want to ask questions and be a part of the dialogue, you'll need to come in person Wednesday nights starting on June the 8th. And here's the title of this offering: Conversations with Tim and Barbara Cook on Life, Death, and Resurrection, Joy and Simplicity of a Life Devoted to God. So this can be a beautiful personal window into their life as they enter into this season. It's a very sacred season, the forest years of elderly life. I know many of us will be blessed by that. That'll happen right after the Wednesday evening worship service, starting at 7:15. That's all the announcements I have. I do want to talk a little bit about the Eucharist, because I see so many new, wonderful faces in the room. We're serving the common cup, and so we are asking that no one dip their piece of bread into the cup. That's called intinction. And just if you don't want to partake of the common cup, you can just walk by, or you can go to the cup and have reverence for it. We understand your choice. And we believe, theologically and spiritually, that the fullness of presence is in the bread. So your choice. In the center, right in front of me, there will be the plate serving the gluten-free option. And all the cups serve wine, so there's not a non-alcoholic option. And so I think that's all that I need to say about Eucharist. But welcome again to our service. Let us just take a moment to wish, why are you here? What do you need to hear? Even if you don't know what you need, just make a little will, an act of will to God to bless you today and bless those beside you, and through this service to bless the world. May it be so.
Please join us in opening to the Holy Spirit with our song, Holy Spirit, Come.
Oh.
Please stand and join your neighbors in singing "The Gospel in One Word is Love."
Please join with me in listening for God's word. Our reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 4. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. So then, putting away falsehood, let us all speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you are marked with the seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
passage of scripture is so beautiful. It's just a remedy for so much of what ails us as a culture and how we communicate with one another. Our subject this morning is three-centered communication. We've been in a series focusing on the power of three, two ideas that are very powerful, the law of three and the three centers. There's actually more than three centers in a human being, but three centers is about all we can handle. So what does it mean to have three-centered communication? What would that look like? You know, you can just point to the centers very simplistically. It's such more beautifully interconnected systems and processes than the simplicity of the pointing, but, you know, the intellectual center, the emotional center, and the moving instinctive center. In fact, they say that probably what Mr. Gurdjieff meant when he talked about the moving instinctive center and the other centers was primarily grounded in the spinal cord, which has a mind of itself. But anyway, you can get the idea because the spinal cord connects the whole moving and instinctive center and that sensation that the body, we feel, and also that the body just does things without us thinking about it, just digesting, breathing, all these extraordinary autonomic nervous system stuff that the body takes care of us, even when we forget it and abuse it. So three-centered communication, like last week, three-centered parenting or three-centered love, is the wish for all of us to grow more balanced in our use of the centers so that they all integrate, that they're functioning in a healthy, harmonious way, that we're using the right center for the right situation. And that becomes one of the invitations for all of us that life shows us, you know, if you keep trying to push the wall over with your instinctive moving center and the wall's not budging, perhaps try a different center and get up here in the intellectual center and walk around. So our centers are revealed very, very clearly and quickly by our words, especially when we're having a conversation with others and especially when the emotions get triggered in our conversations. Any conversation you've had that I've had where anger is present or the fire starts to rise in the thalamus and the fight, flight, freeze energies kick in, and you're still having a conversation, chances are we can all remember those conversations didn't end well. They don't go well when we let that anger out or we let those very powerful depleting energies be in charge, take the reins, so to speak, of the emotional horses, and they just gallop. So how to access all of our centers in our communication process? I think this is a journey of discovery for all of us. Someone famous said, the problem with communication is that we think it's happened. And that is the ministers and the pastors and the teachers and the politicians, the speaker's curse, is that we who talk for a living and our leaders who lead for a living use their words to lead, that we think we're communicating and we're really not. We're just missing each other. And our culture and the world that we live in demonstrates the futility of our communication so often that people are communicating from different centers all the time and different levels of consciousness all the time. So we're just completely missing each other. You know, they say that the planes flying east-west fly at a certain altitude of, I guess, the even numbers, and the planes flying north and south fly at the odd numbers. So there's no chance of planes hitting each other, the ones going north and south and ones going east and west. They fly at different levels. And that's how it is at the level of consciousness. All sorts of people are at different levels of consciousness and we're communicating like a mesh and we're missing each other. And the problem with miscommunication, as far as I can tell, is that when negative emotions get into the game, we end up oftentimes doing violence to one another. If not physical violence, and the ultimate expression of physical violence is war, but then the scaled back war is just hitting each other. You get so angry, you hit each other, or you shake each other, or you slap, or you hit something in the midst of a conversation, or you throw something across the room. Then there is the emotional violence that we do with our words. And you might be very well restrained at not expressing your anger or your negative emotion physically, but inside, you might self-observe that you're hating someone. You're throwing daggers through your words, and you're wishing them ill through in your mind space. So I think this is pretty normal experience in communication processes, especially when you start talking with someone about something that becomes very evident you disagree with each other on, that's near and dear to you. And so, you know, how do we communicate more consciously? How can we model this beautiful invitation that St. Paul writes for us, which we'll talk about in a moment? How can we increase our consciousness and speak from three centers? Part of the trick is learning to self-observe where you're at in any given moment, so that self-observation becomes first a habit and then a state of self-observation, that you constantly, the lights are always on and it's not an effort to self-observe. That I am aware at this second of everything in my body. I'm aware of everything in the room. I'm aware of everything in my feelings and sensations that I'm aware of at the level of consciousness. I can feel my feet on the floor. I can feel the top of my head. And it's so quick, it's just so instant, that I'm in the state of consciousness, that everything is integrated. But I had a good breakfast this morning, Marcia blessed me with, and I'm feeling peaceful. I took a little walk through the woods with Van, walking down to the church. So, but if I didn't get enough sleep, if I was in a difficult situation or had something on my mind, maybe I wouldn't be in all three centers. You could probably tell when I'm not in all three centers, as others can tell when you're not in all three centers, when we're not balanced. So that self-observation of where you're at in any given moment, especially if you're having a conversation with someone that you love, is very, very important. If you can observe, holy cow, my horse of emotional state here is going wild and rearing. I need to calm down and go take a walk and say, I'll be back in an hour. Let's finish this later. That's the gift of self-observation, that you were aware that something was overwhelming you. There are about 20 sermons in the course of my lifetime that I can kind of remember that spoke to me at an essence level, at a being level. And sermons and talking, this is one-way communication. It's not the most effective in communication, but when sermons and teaching and someone speaking communicates from essence to your essence, you never forget it. I was listening, Marcia put me onto a podcast by Marianne Williamson with interviewed by Oprah Winfrey on Oprah Soul Sunday or whatever it was. And I was moved to tears listening to Marianne Williamson's teaching on love. I had read her book on love a long time ago and didn't particularly respect her for getting her toe into politics. But, you know, she did. But here she was talking total nothing about politics, just pure wisdom about love. And I thought, holy cow, this woman is communicating to me. And I was driving, I was crying. It was just so three-centered connection with her three centers on a podcast. Perhaps you can remember an experience like that when you're listening to something, whether it's a movie or music or someone talking, and their essence is touching your essence, and you'll never forget it. It leaves an imprint forever. Of those 20 sermons I mentioned that I've heard in my course of my life that I've never forgotten and still with me, some of them happened in here, just a few happened in here. They weren't sermons I gave, but they were sermons that Tim Cook gave. Oftentimes on Wednesday nights, I remember, I didn't get to come on Sunday mornings, I guess that explains that. But the most potent, the most impressionable sermon that I ever heard, the one that spoke to me, and I remember to this day, it was so profound, three-centered experience, was when one of my mentors, his name is Dr. Mel Lorenz, he was the pastor at Elmbrook Church in Brookfield, Wisconsin, big mega church. And one of our dear friends, some mutual dear friends, died in a very unexpected and tragic way. Totally surprised us, shocked us. And Mel Lorenz, this mentor to me, who was a man's man, just 6'4", just a man's man. You know, you could just look at him and trust him. He conveyed wisdom, he conveyed love, he conveyed gentleness, all of this. I love Mel Lorenz. And he was mentored by one of our mutual mentors, a guy by the name of Stuart Briscoe, who really founded that church. So Mel Lorenz succeeded Stuart Briscoe. And over the years, I've come to respect Mel and how he succeeded this superstar. And it turned out that was something of the course of my life as well, that was my destiny, to succeed a superstar. And Mel Lorenz got up there in front of 5,000-6,000 people, mourning a pastor on staff who had just died suddenly, unexpectedly, tragically, with very unexplained circumstances. And he got up there and he started to talk, and then he just did this and he started to cry. He couldn't control himself. And then he composed himself. And then he said maybe one or two sentences, which were encouraging and blessing the community, affirming God's faithfulness to us and that we were going to be okay and that God's love and faithfulness endure forever and are new every morning, even through the difficulties. And that was it. He got down and sat back down. And I respected Mel, but in that moment, I loved Mel. Because he did a three-centered communication that I'll never forget that spoke to everyone's essence in that room. And sometimes the most powerful communication is not saying anything. It's being something. Being. And that's the gift of silence, that the silence cultivates our being. Mel was shocked by the event, and he was shocked into that silence and that emotional stunness. Shocks are a good thing for us, but we can cultivate this quality of being day by day, little by little, in the silence. Our meditation practice cultivates this being and draws this way of being, this level of being out in us, so that our words are fused with wisdom and love and light and kindness and gentleness and patience and wisdom. We don't have to stretch or reach for the words. They just flow out of a being that's being squeezed by life, like a sponge squeezing out what it has absorbed. And we absorb the silence, and the silence then absorbs us. And it conveys something that only God's love can convey to us in the silence. And the healing process that happens, the unloading process that happens through a long-term process of centering prayer, just give it 2 years of regular daily centering prayer practice, 20, 30 minutes in the morning, 20, 30 minutes in the evening or afternoon. I'm telling you, 2 or 3 years with a few retreats in there, you will be a completely new person. Your words, your conversation, your presence, your being will be transformed. It will be faithful and deliver this transformation. There's nothing that can stop it. It is so powerful when we give ourselves to it. In part because, as Irenaeus, the theologian, 153, said, silence is God's first language. Not words. In the beginning was the Logos, the Word. It's poorly translated as Word because it can equally be translated, in the beginning was the quantum field of all possibility. In the beginning was silence, from which all words and rationality and wisdom births forth. So this quality of silence and the meditative practices that can help us so much get into our three centers and heal and integrate our three centers without us lifting a finger will affect how we communicate. You will not communicate the same way after a 10-day centering prayer retreat. I promise you, you will not communicate the same way for at least a day. Some of us maybe 3 days, but there is an impact. There is an impact. Which is why so many people love listening to people like Dalai Lama and the many, many, many unknown monks who give themselves to the meditation. And there aren't so many in the Christian world to look to, but that's changing. And we're a community that is grounded in the silence, and hopefully we're practicing, you know, as much as we can. So communication in our culture, we have very bad habits. Very, very bad habits of communication that are not grounded in the silence and that are not grounded in the being of wisdom or kindness or patience or joy or love. They're grounded in other things, power, control, fear, being right, winning, shaming, bullying. You know, so our way of communicating as a culture, we have a lot of room to grow. And one of the ways we all can start seeding the field of consciousness with a different way of communicating is just change the you statements to I statements. Just change the you to an I when you're communicating. Why are you so? I need to feel this. Can you please stop doing that? Just shifting the blame and taking ownership of what we're wanting. I need, I feel. It's very basic, but that's just very practical thing that we can do. The other thing that we can do is listen more empathically with our emotional center, especially if you're a head type. Listen with your emotions. Because people are telling you who they are, but do we believe them? They're telling us who they are with their words. Do we believe them? And we oftentimes aren't even listening, much less believing them. And so the first thing that we can do in practice is when someone makes an I statement, when they say, I like this, this, and this, and this, or I don't like this, or I think we should do this, this, or this, instead of launching into what you think they just said, or how you oppose that or agree with that, even if you agree with that, you know, one of the first things we can do is say, so I hear you really feel this way. Yes, I do feel that way. Thank you. And it instantly opens up the conversation. Versus you listen to them say X, Y, Z, and then you say, yeah, well, when I went to Europe, I went to X, Y, Z. Instead of going, wow, that must have been an extraordinary experience for you when you went to the Tower of Pisa. What was it like when you saw that thing leaning over? Were you afraid it was going to fall on you? You know, so just that simple shift of listening first for what they're saying, and then, you know, listen first to understand and then to be understood. These are basic communications 101. So I don't remember what a lot of people say. You know, conversations are very much landing on exterior parts of centers most of the time. But you remember how a person makes you feel. And I remember how Mel Lorenz made me feel. And it was so, so helpful because that's exactly what I was feeling. And he just demonstrated what I needed to feel. And perhaps you've experienced something like that. Well, let's turn to the scripture reading. Take a deep breath. Feel the three centers. What center are you listening to with right now, you know? Just observe. Imagination somewhere else, thinking about brunch, thinking about the kids. You know, it's a good place to see how this level of communication, a guy up on the platform talking to, I make effort to talk with. I make effort to talk with. I make effort to talk into, not at. So it's an energy force. It's very draining. I need to take a nap in the afternoon. But it's an effort to speak from the heart. And so it takes an effort to listen from the heart for all of us. But someone the other day, I don't remember which class it was, said, what I love most about CCH is that it's a community that seems to be people striving to communicate essence to essence. I thought, wow, that is one wonderful acclaim for a church, for us to be known as a community that seeks to communicate essence to essence. That is cool that you think that, that that's been your experience. May it be so. So just really briefly, I want to just point out a few things from this scripture, which I commend to you. I commend the book of Ephesians as just the most practical Home Depot for Christian living. You know, you can get anything in this passage, anything you want. And you may never use it, but you can get it. And so just four things to pull out and highlight in this passage. The first is that it calls us to be truth tellers. And one of the things I get from the work is that it's not so much that we're lying intentionally. It's that we have parts of us that we don't know are lying. And that sometimes they're at the microphone. And that the only way you can explain people's about faces, and they say this one day and they say this another day, is that people are multiplicities. And so we're all vulnerable to be this fragmentation. And so I say this one day, say this something. Does that make me a liar? No, it makes me incongruent with myself. And so we can, the cure for this kind of lying that shows up in conversations is more integration of one's being, which centering prayer helps heal that. But to be more real and authentic, to not be fake or false. It says, put away all falsehood. Let us all speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. It's so beautiful. So that if you really understood the oneness of all of us, would you be false? Would you show up from that false self? Could you even be afraid if you really understood the oneness of all of us? It's really quite amazing. The more we're other, the more we're unable to be vulnerable. And the more we're in that place of oneness, the more we can speak our truth. It takes a lot of courage to be vulnerable and speak our truth. Second thing is, this is really interesting, do not be angry. I'm sorry, it says be angry but do not sin. So it's okay to have this emotion called anger, but in our community we would understand this, don't get identified with it. Don't get stuck in the mud of anger. You're probably going to have moments of righteous anger or flashes of anger when things don't go right. That's normal. You're human. But don't let that anger be you. Or don't let the anger consume you. Don't be identified with it. And don't let the sun go down on your anger. So there's a quality of the anger that we're to manage. Don't get too stuck in it so that it takes you. And then there's a quantity. You can be angry, but let it be for a specific period of time. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. In other words, don't go to bed angry, which is one of the wisdoms we've all heard. That's lovely. And the third thing is, let no evil talk come out of your mouths. Unfortunately, they translate it as evil, but the Greek word is sepsis. And we all know where sepsis is, right? When you get an infection and it gets rotted, septic, you die of septic shock. So literally, it's unfortunately, they say evil talk. I understand why they put that spiritualization on it, but really, it would be, don't speak putrid words. Don't speak rotten talk. Don't reveal the rot in your heart, but speak with words that are life-giving and nourishing and healing, that bring healing to the body versus further toxicity to the body. Not just your body, but the body of Christ and the body politic and the body cosmos. So be very careful what you're letting fester in you. And those negative emotions are places of sepsis for many of us. And rot in many of us. Parts of our identities, our little fragments, if you go down deep in the memories, there's rot there. Rot there toward your mom. Rot there toward your dad. Rot there to this or that. Rot. And it's done it to you. It's taken something from you. It's not what we're created for, to live in that rot. But life does that. And so that's where the healing grace comes in and brings a transformation of that rot into new life, healthy tissue. And pretty soon, we're a whole body again. And the peace of Christ dwells in us, and the word of Christ dwells in us, and we're able to sing psalms and spiritual songs and be at ease in ourselves. And our words are flavored and they leave the fragrance of love instead of that rot. So be a truth teller, manage your anger in your communication, and do your work to be healed so that the festering rot in the negative parts of our centers doesn't come out and affect others and pass that disease on to others. As we so quickly pass on germs, but there's nothing that passes the virus of anxiety on faster than one person gossiping about something and passing it on, and that virus just gets spreading. Anxiety spreads through a family system and through churches all the time. And then the last thing involves separating from these these negative emotions. It says, cease all bitterness. Put away all bitterness, wrath, anger, wrangling, slander, and malice. I like that word, wrangling. We know what bitterness is. You can just taste it, that acidic taste in the mouth. And if you have been communicating with bitterness, it passes that bitterness on. Bitterness is the result of unhealed, you know, pain. And forgiveness is the remedy to bitterness. Put away wrath. Don't let that wrath get in. Well, that's a powerful word, wrath. But really it's the word ogre. That ogre in you that comes out, and anger on steroids. Like the Incredible Hulk, you know. He's a nice man, but then he got angry and became the Hulk. Put away anger. Don't get identified with anger. Then don't get identified with wrangling. If you just think about wrangling, a horse or cowboys wrangling a horse, you know, just going after something that bothers you. Come here. And you know, just it just does it. It just wrangles someone, and it's very unconscious. Takes them down, loops them and hoops them and drags them down. Slander. Don't get identified with slander. Slander is essentially gossip. Gossiping about something that's none of your business. It's not have anything to do with you or me. Gossip is wrong talk in the work. Wrong attitudes toward other people. Slander is hurtful gossip that makes the other person bad or wrong falsely or distorts them. Assassination of their character. And if that's ever happened to you, if someone has said something untrue about you and shared it publicly or with others, or passed something on that was half true, you know how much that can get your gall and how toxic that can be in a community that's dedicated to God, devotion, and peace. And lastly, malice. Put away, don't get identified with malice, which is just another way of talking about mean talk. Mean talk. It's not angry talk, but it's just mean. It's belittling. Malice. Malice is part of what makes our culture so toxic, is this malice. People just are mean for no reason. They're mean because they have a wound. Someone was angry to them or mean to them, and it has become habituated in them. They're mechanical. They've crystallized in that meanness, and they are a person of malice. And they've learned sometimes to be very successful using that malice. And you can be very powerful using these techniques. They work. They keep people down, but they do not create a flourishing, beautiful world. That type of communication is very effective, but it will cause people to hate you, and it will not bring people together. It will tear them apart. So the real invitation in our world is to be people who wish to have more conscious, three-centered conversation, to converse, to speak with verse, like the universe and the multiverse. To speak in a way that unites and connects and that is understood and understandable. So hopefully this has been a good communication experience for you, and it's been useful for me to ponder these things. So let's take a moment in the silence. You've heard what my words have said. My being hopefully has communicated something. Just take a moment. Let the silence minister to you. Holy Spirit of God, do what we cannot do, and bring your peace and flavor our words and our listening with your kindness. Amen. Let's stand and give our hearts to song.
My brain has a clue. My heart will know it's true. Yet nothing happens without my body. Nothing happens.
Let us now rest in the silence for 10 minutes of centering prayer, which is a contemplative way of consenting to God's presence, love, and action in our lives.
Most gracious and loving Creator God of the heavens and the earth, giver of this and every moment, we thank you for the breath of life flowing through each of us, and we celebrate and release the beautiful life of Deborah Jean Harding into your eternal care and love, who passed away this week. We remember especially Rusty's mother, Connie Nelson, as she passed this week into the everlasting love of God. For all beloveds who are experiencing sickness in our community and needing healing, we especially uplift Lee Vanderwall, for Carly, and for baby Elliot. For all these that we have named and those that remain quiet in our hearts, we lift them now to you in the silence. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us. We know you hear us now and that you always hear us. It is you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us the faith to pray with that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and transform us in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you." This is the body of Christ. When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ. Living in eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God, our Creator, for the glory of God's work here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand and conclude our worship with song. Welcome, welcome. Thank you, each of you, for your presence, making our service what it's been. We take our tithes, gifts, and offerings into our hands or hearts or consciousness, whether we give electronically, online, or in the basket in the back or by mail. Let's remember this truth over our lives and over those beside us. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God. The love of God, the grace of Christ, the peace of the Holy Spirit infuse your words and your listening this week. Amen. Amen.